The mind. Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show! Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchy. Justin's here.
Hey, everyone.
Our interview with the representative from Daisuke ran a little short, so we decided to do some Twitter time up front. But before we get to that, before we get to your questions, what you been watching, Justin?
Well, I just got the Blu-ray of Colorful, the new Sentai release, and I'll be writing a review of it later.
Cool. Yeah, looking forward to that.
But I have to say up front, Sentai's parade of hits on the Blu-ray front continues.
Oh no! What is it this time?
First of all, I gotta say this has to be one of the shittiest dubs I've seen in many years.
Oh no!
Yeah, I'm not happy.
Who dubbed it? Happy.
Well, it's Chris Ayres directing his brother Greg as the 13-year-old kid.
Uh-huh.
Greg is straining so high to sound like a prepubescent 13-year-old that he is in a falsetto for about 60% of it and forgetting to be in a falsetto for the rest of it.
Oh. Man,
yeah.
This is like a really like nuanced, like arty film, right? Like,
yes, this film lives and dies by its very subtle acting. And, also, the script isn't rewritten very well, and so it's very kludgy, and all the actors are clearly, like, really struggling to make all the lines sound right, but it's just, it's bad. It is not a good dub. But that's okay. There's the subtitles.
Right.
And just whatever you do, don't use the pop-up menu to change the language function, because that pop-up menu is really messed up, and clearly no one checked the programming on this disc before they hit encode. What are these guys doing?
I don't know. We haven't figured it out. I mean,
clearly neither have they.
Yeah, I guess not. Wait, so what exactly is wrong with the menus? Like, you hit the pop-up button and what happens?
You hit the audio button. Okay, you hit pop-up and you get, you know, the four things along the bottom, you know, chapters, you know, whatever.
Right, yeah.
You hit audio expecting to go to the audio submenu and it just switches the audio track. Yeah, like, it's clearly a bug. Like, clearly this isn't correct functionality.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, man.
Yeah, just, the disc is fine. It's functional. It works. It's also completely bare bones. There's not even a theatrical trailer on there, which is frustrating because the Japanese disc is, like, a double disc deluxe set, but I'm sure that's probably reverse importing stuff.
Sure, but, I mean, so how's the picture quality?
Oh, it's fine because it's a movie, so it was never interlaced to begin with.
Oh, okay, good.
So it's, you know, Progressive Video, fairly idiot-proof to encode for Blu-ray either, you know, so it looks okay, but just these little things, you know?
It's like everything is like, yeah, I guess it's fine. Like, it's functional, but it's not polished.
Right.
There's no polish on these things.
Oh, that goes beyond polish.
Yeah,
that's like, we forgot to saw off this extra little notch off the front end of this car.
Right. Or
ladies, don't walk by it or you will rip off your pants.
Right, yeah.
But it works as a car just fine.
Yeah, you can still drive it. Just, you know, one of the tires, it's slightly imbalanced in the front, so one of your tires is going to wear down faster than the other. But, you know, it'll be okay.
The front end is to a Subaru, even though you bought an Audi.
Right. Well, that's a shame. So people can look forward to your review of the film itself, which
yeah,
I know
it's a really complicated film. I have to really kind of mentally unpack it again because it's been about a year since I've seen it.
Yeah, I know. You raved about it last time. So
yeah, I loved it. So yeah, that's Colorful. I got to, you know, troll through that again. I did finally see Ava 3.33.
All right. And what'd you think?
I appreciated it. I didn't hate it, but I completely understand why people are not satisfied by it. And I got to say, I wasn't really fully satisfied either.
Is that just because there's no real conclusion, or you found...
No, of course not. There was no conclusion to 2.22 either.
Well, sure, but I mean, I'm just... So you found the events of the film to just be unsatisfying?
Well, here's the problem. It tries to do something very ambitious, which is take these characters and this premise that we're all familiar with and just almost completely... It's so far removed from everything that came before that it spends most of its time having to world build and character build again. But it's so wrapped up in that I don't. It, for me, at least, it didn't connect emotionally.
Okay, no, I could see that. I guess.
Like by the stuff at the end where Shinji is trying like hell to fix his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Is so it like that should have been so emotional and so compelling, and it just kind of laid there for me. It didn't do anything because I didn't really. It didn't give me enough. I'm not even sure why it exactly that I don't care about Shinji or Kaoru or any of these other characters. I think it's just because it was so rushed with all its exposition trying to explain what happened and why.
Yeah.
That I don't really. I never really connected.
I could see that. I found some of those moments to be pretty powerful. I really enjoyed the last hour of that movie.
Oh yeah, I mean the first 40 minutes or whatever, where it's basically nothing but exposition is rough.
But at the same time, I feel like it comes together and you kind of get what they're going for. Like
I get what they're going for.
What they're trying to do, and I thought the moment at the end when it gets into the crazy end of Evangelion stuff was easily the best part and the coolest stuff in it, and I really appreciated what they did with the relationship between Kaoru and Shinji. I thought they did a really nice job expanding that.
They did. The problem for me is basically it just comes down to one thing, and this is probably unfair, but when in Evangelion... And the reason that I love Evangelion as much as it does is every time something that fucked up and apocalyptic and awful happens, which is, you know, the kind of the defining moments of Eva,
mm-hmm.
I feel it with my soul. Every iteration of Evangelion up to this point has left a gash when you watch it. This one I walked away from going, okay, that was a movie.
Really, the part that's, you know, without getting too much into spoilers, but now you know the part that I was talking about earlier with the whole, like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm mm-hmm. going to do it, you guys. Like, this is the right thing to do. And everyone's like, no, stop. And he's like, no, guys, I'm totally going to do it. And it's like, oh, fuck. Like, you just... Oh, Shinji, like...
You know, had we, sure, absolutely. But at the same time, had we spent... I think what probably helped is if we had spent more time with Shinji marinating in his ennui for having, you know, caused all the horrors to begin with.
Yeah, you know, I think that movie could have benefited, you know, it's only like an hour and a half.
It's rushed.
It could have benefited from another 20 minutes of marinating. You're absolutely right. It totally could have used... I think part of the reason Evangelion is so successful on an emotional level is because it allows itself to wallow.
Right.
And that's what those feelings, you know, horrifying depression and self-doubt, that you wallow in those feelings. It's not something you just sort of feel for a few seconds. And
right. But this is actually the first time it's actually expected that of us, and it was so diminished.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. And I could totally see that as a shortcoming. However, I was so excited by, oh, this is what they're doing. Oh, neat. And I really liked the emotional moments at the end and all the Kaoru stuff that made up for it for me. I agree with you. I agree with the criticisms you're making, but I liked the rest of it enough to say, like, okay, well, you know, it's flawed, but I still really enjoyed it. And I kind of can't wait to see that last one. I just want to know what they're going to do.
I also really hope that there's a good reason... They come up with a good reason not to age the most marketable as figures characters.
Well, I mean, I didn't really expect that to happen. Isn't there an explanation out there for that already? Didn't they say something about the fact that the children don't age?
Yeah, I mean they did. They did, but like the, it. It felt flimsy to me. It's like, well, we couldn't age the figures that we're constantly, you know, marketing as nurses wielding giant enemas.
Yeah, well, yeah, really. Like, suddenly if Asuka's not 14 anymore...
Japan goes, not interested.
Yeah, right, Japan... Millions of people in Japan go, what? Yeah, that... Yeah.
You mean she's 28?
gross! Yeah, no, I see your point. I don't know. I thought the strengths of the film overcame the weaknesses, but it does feel like
I'll still buy it whenever it comes out stateside. But I'm, it's like Evangelion 2.22 made me so excited for the potential from here, and I can't help but feel let down.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I did like the ending, and I liked the fact that.
Yeah,
you really don't know where they're going to go with it.
Oh yeah, we are so completely off the map on this that yeah. It's just like what is going to happen. But you know, I still liked it. I'm not on the same page as V Guy.
I don't know if that was a joke or not, but no, I don't know. I'm happy that it's totally off. I don't want the same stuff. I'm just too willing to embrace different and not quite willing enough to say like, oh, this is different, but it's not necessarily better or good. I just love the fact that it's different. And I really liked what it was doing. I look forward to seeing where it's going to go, especially given that ending.
It doesn't feel like Ava if I don't have my stomach in my throat.
At this point though, you're watching the third version of this, you know, you have seen this, like, this is watching the third remake of something, or the second remake of something. End of Evangelion is basically a remake of the end of the show.
I could go back and watch like, the first, you know, episode 20 again and still get that feeling. I have an inexhaustible amount of ennui.
Well, I guess you're right. We'll have to wait and see. It's... At this point, it's incomplete, and we gotta wait and see till that last one. But
the book isn't closed yet. Well, who knows what will happen from here?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So Color for All, End of Evangelion, or End of Evangelion, Evangelion. Well, actually, that brings me to my other question. Do you see kind of what I was saying, where it feels like this is continuing on from End of Evangelion rather than totally retelling?
Well, sure, because Evangelion tells a story of what was supposed to happening to its conclusion. This happens where that hit pause, and now you have this happening. So,
yeah, right.
It is literally a continuation from if the events of Evangelion didn't follow through.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So. Yeah, neat imagery, though. Really like that giant ray head.
It's really pretty.
With the bodies crawling up, that's neat.
It is really pretty. And honestly, The Kaoru Shinji man love did not seem over the top to me at all. In fact, if anything, it felt diminished from the TV show.
It felt they muted the BL side of it and instead gave it. I thought it worked a little bit better in that Shinji needs a friend. Except this time they flipped Koro's character around, so he's
right.
Not the same person that he was before. I don't know. I really liked what they did with that.
They never had a sleepover and they never were in the bath together.
That's true.
I
really liked what they did during those piano sequences.
Yeah, that was nice.
Really, really nicely done. I don't know. I agree with your criticisms, but my takeaway from it was, yeah, but I liked it still. Like, maybe I'm just a fucking sucker for Evangelion.
Well, aren't we all at this point?
Really. anything else?
No, that's pretty much it for me. I keep looking to the theater to see if anything I'm interested is playing, and the answer is usually no.
Well, I've been to movies a lot in the last couple weeks. I've been taking in all the summer stuff.
Sounds like you haven't been all that happy about it, though.
No. I never thought I would say this, but in the last 2 weeks, I've seen Iron Man, Great Gatsby, and as of a couple hours ago, I saw Star Trek. Iron Man was the best. I really never thought I would say that. Iron Man was actually pretty good. It was a pretty solid superhero movie, if you're into that kind of thing. It was certainly better than that awful second one. There's stakes for the characters. They give Robert Downey Jr. anxiety problems, and even though people are saying, like, oh, that's not a realistic depiction of anxiety, it's fairly close without being too unpleasant for a family-friendly comic book movie. I thought the depiction of an anxiety attack, because he has several of them in the film, he's traumatized after the Avengers, and they depict it pretty well. I thought that adds, that gives that character just enough humanity so it's not just smuggy quip Iron Man the entire time. Because I'm so tired of Robert Downey Jr. and his entire screen persona. I could take it or leave it at this point. Like, I just don't care anymore. But they gave him some humanity in that movie. There were consequences for his actions, and it was a better film than most of the other standalone Marvel movies. But it's also a trifle, and, you know, I haven't thought about it since it came out. And then last weekend, saw The Great Gatsby, which I was looking forward to more than anything.
The disappointment on that one seems to be near universal.
Well, I really love the first hour. The first hour is great, and that's because it's basically a recreation of Moulin Rouge, down to the basic structure of it. It's very Moulin Rouge-y. And once that part goes away, the last hour and a half is super flat, and Baz Luhrmann is only interested in Gatsby as a character, and to the detriment of every other character in the film. There virtually are no other characters. Everyone else just kind of standing around. Even they get rid of Daisy's conniving ways. I don't know the last time you read that book was, but the whole character of Daisy...
High school, I think.
Yeah, she's using him. They kind of take that out. What?
Well, then why does she exist?
I don't know. I by the end of that film, I was like, "End! Just shoot him already. He's gonna die face down in the pool. Just shove him face down in the pool so I can go." Like, it loses its steam. It completely runs out of fuel after about the first 45 minutes. But those first 45 minutes are great, and I gotta say, best 3D I've seen since Hugo. Amazing 3D. Like, I saw it in 3D specifically because I wanted to see what Baz Luhrmann could do with it. He's great. It's really cool.
It's just too bad he only has one good movie in him, apparently.
That's well, I like several of his films, but I was pretty let down by it. And then, man, Star Trek. God, what a bummer.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what the hell happened, because it has an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. But, like, everyone who is pointing out how stupid it is getting basically no blowback.
No, because it is the Transformers 2 of Star Trek movies.
Fuck.
It's that kind of bad writing. Ugh. Where shit just doesn't connect. And I wouldn't necessarily compare it directly to Transformers 2. It's just easy to do that because the two head writers on it wrote Transformers 2. And the other writer was our pal Damon Lindelof, who wrote Prometheus, and I would directly compare it to Prometheus in terms of absolute shit script. Like, shit script, where the character motivations serve the plot, but not the characters, and definitely not really the story. People just do things. It's all really inorganic. You don't really understand. They're constantly making bad choices that you wouldn't think that character would make. And unfortunately, J.J. Abrams and his stupid fucking mystery box means you can't actually talk about this film basically at all without spoiling things. And I don't want to spoil anything because it came out today, and we're talking about it today, and this episode will be out tomorrow. But holy fuck, man, I had my head in my hands during the third act of this movie. Like, I was just like, oh my god. I could not believe how fucking stupid the story was. It's got the great thing where everyone stands around, and you already know who all these characters are, but they do love standing around describing themselves and then directly explaining the plot. I don't think it's a huge spoiler to mention that there is a cameo by Leonard Nimoy, and his entire purpose is to explain part of the plot. I was so let down, because I loved that first one. I thought it was so much fun. And, you know, that one, if you think about the plot in it for even, like, a couple of minutes, you're like, oh, well, that's pretty dumb. But it's still fun while you're watching it, and it's fun on a rewatch. Like, I rewatched it just a short while ago, and I was like, oh, that's a lot of fun. Like, And most of the fun in the film is the characters, and in this one, none of that fun character stuff is in there. There's actually no character growth virtually at all. But that's what I'm going to these movies for, is to see that cast interact with each other.
Great.
Yeah. Blech, Star Trek. Fuck that thing, man. I thought it was a turd.
The one franchise that Hollywood hadn't utterly killed for me.
Well, you know, we'll see where it goes. I'm curious, because Abrams is obviously not going to direct the next one. Because Paramount wants it out in the next 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
And he's going to be doing Star Wars. So he can go shit all over Star Wars all he wants. I don't care. I would like to see it.
There's nothing left of that cinder. He has to start from scratch anyway.
Right. I would like to see someone else try Star Trek and see what they could do with it again. Like, I think I would like to see at least one more good movie out of that franchise. That would be neat. But, like, you know, and it's not like this unwatchable piece of shit or anything. It's just that if bad writing bothers you, it's not the kind of movie where you can ignore the bad writing and focus on the other stuff. Because the other stuff, it's all action sequences brought on by inorganic decisions that you... They get to this point where there's an action sequence, and you're like, wait, why? What? Huh? Why are you doing this right now? Like, a lot of that stuff, you're totally taken out of it. I got to a point where I didn't give a shit anymore. Like, they go into another action sequence, and I'm like, uh-huh, all right. When are we going to get to the end of this? Star Trek. What a letdown. Oh, well.
So that's quite a triumvirate of progressively worsening films. What's next?
Yeah, shit. I don't even know what's next. Oh, I know. I'll pin all my hopes on The Hangover Part 3.
At this point, that may be the high water mark.
Yeah, I don't know what's next, but so far, kind of a shit summer. But anyway,
no, it's merely May.
Yeah, this is true. But how you know, it's so front loaded these days.
It is.
We'll see how it goes. Anyway, so we got a bunch of Twitter questions here. First up, we got this question from a few people, and unfortunately I can't find the exact tweet, but a couple of people asked us what we thought of the monster show that Guillermo del Toro is claiming will be produced for HBO. What do you think?
I'm very happy someone is finally adapting it as a show, or adapting some manga property as a show rather than as a movie. I think it will just suit that better, and Guillermo del Toro is a fantastic match for monster, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know, as with everything, approach with caution. We shall see.
Yeah, if it actually gets made is one thing, because Guillermo del Toro is also one of these people that has his name on 50 different things at the same time, and you will ever see maybe one of them get produced. Mm-hmm. Insofar as I know, he's got his name on like 5 different films and like a couple of different TV shows right now, and who knows if Monster will ever actually come around. However, I think that's a perfect fit. An hour-long monster on HBO, live action, produced by people who know what they're doing and stick to the source material, you'd be fine.
That could be potentially very good.
Yeah, and you know, and a hit. I think that could be a hit show. There's a lot of really good shit in there. That is totally palatable to a Western audience. So
totally.
Yeah. All right. ABCB Tom asks, continue thoughts on Flowers of Evil. Well, I'm still watching it.
Yep, me too.
Still enjoying it.
Me too.
Little concerned because I have to, obviously, I you know, edit and publish all of our reviews. And Red, we just published a review of Volume 5 of the manga. And it sounds like that is where things really seriously come to a head. And they're never going to get there. not in 13 episodes, not the way it's pacing. So we'll see. I have no idea how far into the story they're going to get, but now that I kind of know what happens later on in the story, I cannot possibly see them getting there in the remaining 6. There's only like 6 episodes left. So, don't know. We'll see where it goes. Still enjoying it, though.
Yeah, it does seem to be moving faster these days, though.
A bit.
Episode 5, things actually happen.
This is true. This is true.
Or was that episode 6 that just aired?
6 just aired. I think, actually, I'm not completely caught up yet. I don't think I've watched 6 yet.
Okay, I watched 6. Like, things are moving.
Okay, cool.
Things happen.
Awesome. Okay, also wants to know what we think of Anime Souls. Now, this just launched.
Mm.
Now, Sam's a friend of the show.
Yep.
And we've had him on plenty of times, and yep. I wish I want to preface this with, I wish him all the best, and I want Anime Souls to succeed.
Yep.
However, speaking only as a pundit, I do not see this succeeding.
I am skeptical. I am really skeptical. I mean, I was hopeful until I saw his initial lineup, but I'm just like, God, all of these have been passed on by every U.S. publisher for decades for a reason. These are not shows that really have a strong enough fan base to really support, especially they need to raise so much money. I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't see them having that big an audience. I just don't. Especially like Yatterman. I mean, really, I don't see it.
I look at these numbers and I don't see the math working out really in their favor, because any kind of crowdfunding, your most important few days are your first few days. And now this isn't Kickstarter, and they didn't have like a huge media blitz or anything like that, so maybe this will work in the opposite, where as people slowly become aware of Anime Souls, they will find the site and donate to these shows. But, you know, Sam's prediction was that Creamy Mommy would be this big thing, and that they would surely get the funding for at least that first DVD box. And it's been about a week now, and it's up to $2,000 of a $20,000 goal, and it's got a month or two left. That, to me, I look at those numbers, and I look at something similar on Kickstarter, where that's where they're trying to raise that much, and they have this much this far in. That Kickstarter would not get fully funded. It's just sort of the reality of math and the way crowdfunding works. And I feel like, ultimately, people are going to look at this and say, like, okay, well, there's no... It seems like so much of this stuff is so far away from actually getting full funding, there's no point in me giving money to it, because it's not going to succeed.
The biggest problem, honestly, is a discovery issue. These shows, you know, maybe a couple of them would have an audience here, but nobody here has seen them, and they're mostly too old and obscure to have been fan-subbed in any great degree. So, unless you are specifically looking for Anime Souls, or specifically looking for those shows, you will not find them. You will not know that this project exists.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might stumble across this on Hulu or Netflix and something, watch a few episodes, go, oh, I might really like this, Google the show name. That scenario can't happen under this, the way this works.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. I wish them all the best. However, like you, I can't help but be very skeptical. And right now, I don't think the numbers aren't looking very good. And that's sad. And I want it to succeed, but...
Well, you know, this might be a case where the formula is essentially good but needs tweaking.
Sure, maybe.
But, you know, the way Sam was describing it on the show, and I wish I could have been here for that, but I was traveling. It sounds like the way that this Japanese partners work, it's like either this works or this doesn't. He's not going to get a second chance at it.
Yeah, basically. I probably wouldn't have gone with this many shows out of the gate if this is how they were going to do it.
And I would put them on Hulu immediately.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You can't build your own traffic to a new website destination portal and raise money at the same time for obscure properties.
Right, yeah, you can pick one of those two.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, it seems like maybe a way to start this would have just been doing a Kickstarter for Creamy Mommy. Testing the waters there. And then going with this.
Right.
I don't know. Don't know. But I wish them all the best. I hope it succeeds. Yada, yada, yada. But right now, I don't think it's looking very good. Okay. FMP or FM Phoenix Hawk asks... what series are must-haves for a good library versus what should you not have in your library? Well, you should have whatever you want in your library.
What do you want in a library?
Yeah. That's like a super specific thing. I don't think there's like a perfect library where, like, you know... Certainly I think... Well, no. That's such like a person-specific thing that's so subjective. It's not like, look, everyone should have this show. Well, not everyone likes that show. You know?
Right.
You know?
I mean, I'm sure more than a few people would call me some sort of charlatan for being an anime nerd and not having Dragon Ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't have Dragon Ball either.
Yeah. Why would I? I don't like Dragon Ball. Never have liked Dragon Ball.
MD Gandhi asks, opinions on the new Daft Punk album. I've only heard about half of it. It's okay. It's no discovery.
I wasn't a huge Daft Punk fan to begin with, because I don't like funk, although I do like Daft. But I like it. It's okay. I mean, not my favorite album of the year, but meh.
It's listenable. There's some good tracks. I like it plenty. All right. Mr. The Animatist asks, what are your thoughts on the recent uptake of UK-specific, meaning non-US licenses like Bebop and Perfect Blue on Blu-ray? Well, lucky them, I guess.
Yeah. Although Perfect Blue does not look good on Blu-ray.
Well, no, but, I mean, it looks... Well, maybe...
I've shown you the Japanese of that. Didn't I?
You gave me a copy of it.
Oh, yeah.
You mastered one yourself and gave it to me.
Oh, that's right. I did do that, didn't I?
Yeah. And
I made one of my little OCD discs, and it looks very blurry.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, on Blu-ray, you get to see you really, like, the piss-poor compositing in that film just really pops on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not only that, they must have been using, like, the cheapest possible film stock. Like, that is, it looks like the whole thing was shot through, you know, a very, very dirty glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I, don't get me wrong, if it was offered in the U.S., I would still snap that shit up.
Yeah.
It's Perfect Blue.
But in terms of this stuff getting released in the UK only, I don't know, maybe it's just easier for them to get the license over there, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they want less money for the UK market than they do the US market.
Right. But I mean, you know.
And Bebop Blu-rays equals you lucky bastards.
Yeah, somebody pointed me that they put the packaging up and everything for that. It's up for pre-order. And you can get it for, like, I don't know what the dollar to euro rate is right now, but I think you can get the first set for, like, $40 or something like that.
Do it. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't have a region free Blu-ray, though.
Yeah, and, you know, I tried to get a Region 2 Blu-ray player, and it's really, really hard. No major retailers in the UK will ship it to you.
Really?
None.
Wacky.
Right?
So anyway, somebody license those Bebop Blu-rays for the US, please. Thank you. All right. Bazinko asks, have you contributed to any series on Anime Souls, and what series would you like to see on there in the future? No, I haven't. I'm not particularly a fan of kind of any of the stuff that's on there. I don't know what I would want to see on there. Most of my all-time classic favorites have been released or are being released or something like that. You know, this is all stuff from the 70s and 80s, and there's just not a lot from that period that I would necessarily contribute money to see it released on DVD, I guess.
I would throw a lot of money at Touch. A lot of money at Musashino Ken.
Musashino Ken.
I like Musashino Ken.
No, no, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm okay. I say that from the perspective of that you'll never see every box out of that released.
Oh yeah, like you're going to see a lot of like Yatterman.
Yeah, the way this is structured, never see that.
No. But yeah, if you know, this is a. If I'm living in dreamland, why should I stop at the realistic? Yeah, the stuff that's up now, I'm not really a fan of. Although I do need to watch Creamy Mommy. I think I watched like one fan sub tape of that when I was in high school.
I watched the first episode and was like, "Really, this? I don't get it."
Well, it's just an '80s magical girl show, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty weird. I don't know. Also, interestingly enough, the Creamy Mommy soundtrack is really heavy on the unironic wah, 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 wah. Like, they use that horn just constantly. It's really distracting.
I was going to say, that's not a selling point.
Anytime something comedic happens, wah, 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 like, Creamy Mommy. Anyway, alright, Chris Reanimated asks, stumbled across the trailer for Ninja Scroll 2, is that dead? Or is, well, just because I stop right there, yes. That's never going to happen, I don't think.
No, especially not after all the turbulent last couple years at Madhouse.
Yeah, no shit. You can answer this. Redneck Otaku asks, what are some good sports anime to see? Looking for a change in anime.
Well, Big Windup.
Right.
At least that's easy to find. Hajime no Ippo.
Yep.
Touch.
Mm-hmm.
Musashi no Ken. Right. Slam Dunk. Slam Dunk you can find online streaming, so that's easy.
I would say iShield 21. I like that show.
Really?
Yep.
It's I've heard if you like football wise, it's not very accurate.
No, but Shonen Jumpy sports wise, right. I liked it plenty.
That's true.
I thought it was very entertaining.
There's actually not that many good ones. Although the ones that are good are great.
We just named like 8.
And yeah,
they're all hundreds of episodes long. So we just gave him plenty to go with.
Does Hikaru no Go count as a sports anime?
Does it? I don't know.
Kinda.
I would lump Hikaru no Go in with Chihaya Furu.
Is that its own genre now? Board game anime?
Board game, card game anime. Yeah. Sure, why not? Game anime. Yeah.
Right.
AC in the 715 says, if you had bronies, hardcore moe fans, and hardcore miku fans in a battle royale fight to the death, who do you think wins?
Hopefully none of them.
Yeah, none of them.
We all win.
Oh, depends. Weapons? No weapons? What kind of, how big is this cage? Do they go in 3 at a time? And, like, how does this battle royale work? You got to give us some parameters here. I mean, you know.
After X number of minutes, is there a timeout and we get to just release a lion into there?
Yeah. If that happens, then my money's on the lion.
Among the demographic, we're not talking about the most, you know, fighting savvy people, I imagine.
Yeah, really. All right. Cecil234 asks, why are there so few horror or murder mystery anime series? It seems like we get a couple of horror shows a year.
Yeah, but as far as murder mysteries in general can really only be watched once, and everything is dependent on DVD sales in Japan. I think that's the same, similar to the reason why Detective Conan only doesn't seem to work in the U.S. because we're dependent on it to be a DVD seller, and it doesn't.
Yeah,
because
it's not made for that. Yeah.
Once you find out who the killer is, there is no reason to watch it again.
Exactly. Okay. Nocturne123 asks, would you or Justin buy an anime made by Studio Ghibli about Grimace from McDonald's and how he plans to absorb the world? Yes, of course I would.
In a second.
I would buy an anime involving the McDonald's characters no matter what it was. I want to see My Little Hamburglar Can't Be This Cute or something like that.
I not only would I buy it, I would really hope it's R-rated.
Let's see. AZA Barrow asks, has the weakened yen made you more interested in buying Japanese releases? Yeah, I did actually buy Ava 3.33. And if so, what are you looking at? Well, I bought that. I'm not really looking at a lot else. There's, you know, the Ghibli stuff at this point, I just wait because it's going to come out.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get that Macross Plus box that comes out next month.
Oh, does that has the dub?
It has the dub for the OVAs and subtitle track for the movie.
So no subs on the OVAs?
Right.
And then subs on the movie. Well, the movie was never dubbed, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the only way I watch either one of those.
Yeah, really.
So, hey, although, you know, being reminded of Macross Plus the other day, I did go back and rewatch part of it.
Yeah.
Mostly holds up, although it's such a nostalgia bomb for me, I can't really tell. But the dub does not hold up.
Aw.
And that kind of broke my heart a little bit, because, you know, Bryan Cranston is fantastic in it.
Yeah.
He really elevated that, and he's still good, but no one else is. Everyone else seems very wooden and slightly awkward, and there's some, like, weird cadence issues. Everybody either talks like this or, you know, it very that L.A. act, that L.A. dub scene, I'm going to talk in a really affected manner in lieu of acting thing going on all over the place.
Well, you know, from the 90s.
I know, but, you know, you hope if you remember how awesome and, you know, instant nerd boner that was back in the day, it's just a little disheartening to see it doesn't hold up.
I would imagine at some point we're going to look back on Cowboy Bebop and go, yeah, it's all right, I guess. Like, for the dub. I would imagine, eventually.
That was actually a good dub, though.
It is. Well, it is good, but, you know, I thought that...
We haven't really achieved that level since.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I think in the back of my mind, even when Macross Plus was the hot shit, a little bit of me was probably going, wow, the guy that plays Yang, not that good.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Wow, Millard sounds really strained and awkward. Why? Why is he talking like this all of the time?
Cypher Scythe asks, ever thought about having a video version of your live ancasts? Nah, this is not really worth it.
No, it would literally just be us sitting there talking.
Yeah, I mean, you can just hear it. Speaking of which, actually, I have a little bit of an update on that. It looks like, and this hasn't been totally confirmed yet, but pretty sure you and I are going to be in the AMV programming room. at Anime Expo this year with our live show.
Oh my god.
And it looks like, again, not confirmed, but right now it looks like they're giving us an hour and a half.
Oh my god.
So,
we're going to be talking for a very long time to a huge cavernous empty room.
Yeah, no kidding. there's also no stage, so we're going to be off to the side. That'll be fun. Yeah, well, look, we'll see how it goes. But we're right now we're in sort of the final stages of getting all that set up and I
think that's gonna be weird.
We're gonna have to really kind of promote the fuck out of that if we want people to show up. I think it might also be at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, Sunday?
It wouldn't. Oh god, I hope not. but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, we will have a live show. That's really the news, I guess. There will be a live show at Anime Expo. So show up, please. You can win some great prizes. Chard Knight asks. With the success of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, what other anime or manga series would you want to see remade for a new generation? Well, they're already doing the one that I think is just licensed to print money, which is Sailor Moon.
Right.
Although who knows what's going on with that. I don't know. No, I think in the past I would have said Rurouni Kenshin, but not anymore.
Right.
Now I don't give a fuck. I'm kind of surprised there's been no attempt to remake Yu Yu Hakusho.
Did that have an ending?
I don't know.
Does it matter? It's a Shonen Jump property.
Remake that and then simultaneously remake Flame of Recca. not really. I mean, you know, JoJo's is the one that I'm interested in seeing from the beginning, and unfortunately it's not available in the States, so what are you going
to
do?
I would love to see a modern-day reboot of City Hunter with like an emphasis on Rio coming head-to-head with sexual harassment laws.
real-life City Hunter. That'd
be awesome. That just like end up with him constantly being sued and therefore poor.
Cuts to him knocking on someone's door by court mandate because he just moved in across the street.
He has to live under a bridge because everything else is within two, you know, a few hundred yards of a school.
It's terrible. Okay, Andre Poplu asks, what do you guys think of the Funimation employee watching a One Piece marathon live stream? So people have some context for this. Right now, as we speak, Funimation is doing a publicity stunt because One Piece starts from episode 200 or whatever the fuck on Toonami. This Saturday, and in order to promote it, they've locked a dude from their marketing department or something in a room, and he's watching 200-some episodes of it in a row.
Or sleeping.
Or he's either doing that or sleeping. And from what I understand, they let him sleep like 6 hours a day. It's a neat idea. I don't think they promoted it enough. I think it's kind of weird to do big event stunts, live streaming stunts like this during just a regular work week. Normally, this kind of thing, when it comes to live streaming, works really well when you do it over a holiday weekend, and you promote it a lot, and you have something going on other than just a dude watching TV. I know they have, like, voice actors coming in and talking and stuff, and some special guests, but from what I understand, there's not too much in the way of chat interaction. Like, I think I would have done it a little differently, not that I'd, you know, telling the guys at Funimation how to do their jobs or anything, but some kind of a chat, a more active chat. I think they should have two guys in there, first of all. One guy managing the chat. So there's a, you know, live streaming chat room, and they can directly interact constantly with the people watching the live stream. And they should also probably be focusing more on video games than just a dude watching TV.
Yeah.
Just in general, if you look at live streaming trends and what attracts an audience, video games will outdo everything. If that's what they were going for to promote it. I personally, like, here's how I would have done it. I would have said, okay, Friday night at 3 p.m. EST, we're going to start a 24-hour live stream of One Piece video games that we can invite people in, and we can do multiplayer and stuff live on the air, and we'll have a bunch of people in the room for 24 hours leading up to the premiere of One Piece on Toonami. I probably would have done it that way. I feel like that would have gotten them a bigger audience and had a little bit more audience participation. But from what I understand, you know, people are enjoying what they're doing this time around, and I'm happy that they're experimenting more, because that kind of publicity stunt is a lot of fun, and people really do enjoy it. So more power to him, and I hope that guy is doing okay.
Yeah, we'll see if we'll see if they end up having to pay workman's comp or something.
Yeah, right. How hard is it to just sit in a room and watch TV for 3 days? From Cross Maps, he asks, in general, how much information do you like to have about a piece of media before checking it out? Does it vary for different media, like TV versus movies, which require different time commitments, for example? So how much do you need to know about a film before you decide to watch it, I think, is kind of what I was getting to.
Actually, very varies wildly. Movies, I like to go in as absolutely cold as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'll find out, say, what's, you know, if it's good or not. But aside from that, there is nothing better than going to the art house movie theater and just closing your eyes and pointing and just seeing if it's any good. I love that.
Yeah, it's neat to do that. I've gotten to the point now where, you know, I'll basically watch whatever. I'm especially susceptible to friend recommendations. So, like, if you tell me something's good, I'll go watch it. If somebody whose taste I trust tells me, hey, you gotta see this, I will watch it. However, you know, for stuff like, especially right now, like the movie season we're in right now, I will generally watch the tent poles. I don't even need to see a trailer. Like, I was gonna watch that Star Trek movie no matter what. It didn't really matter. The reviews or anything, I was just like, yeah, of course I'm gonna see that. And frankly, like, the way movie marketing is now, I don't like to see trailers. I don't,
yeah.
You know, everyone's like, oh, can you believe this new Pacific Rim trailer? Well, I'm not going to watch it because I'm going to see that movie. And I don't want to see 2 minutes of it before I see it. I want everything in it to be fresh. So, fuck it. I don't need to see the trailer. You know, I'll avoid it if I can.
You know, it's so different because, you know, yeah, even for movies, I mean, the risk of overexposure if something is really well publicized and, you know, it's out there is so great that I could be sick of a movie before I even go see it. And then by the time I sit there, it's just like, eh, okay, that was a lot of build up for this.
Yeah. Yeah. And nowadays, you know, trailers spoil things all the way through the third act. And not necessarily spoiler. They're showing you the main set pieces, most of the good jokes, you know. It's kind of no point after you've seen a 2.5-minute trailer for something that shows you all the good parts.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrea Popolu asks, what's the best anime you found at a dollar store or other discount outlet? Hey, just the other day I saw a Dando Complete Collection in a bargain bin for $3.
Years ago, I saw... Actually, I think I even saw random volumes of Escaflowne for $3 back really? When Bandai was blowing out all their stuff at Big Lots.
Yeah.
Junkers Come Here was in there. That's a decent movie. Nothing special, but yeah, I know we all goof on the cover, but I wonder if Jinro ever showed up in a bargain bin.
I wouldn't be surprised, but probably very briefly.
Bandai was really liquidating a lot of stuff at one point.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I think that about wraps it up for our first segment here. We're going to get into Daisuke here in just a minute. Justin, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
And we're back. My guest this week, it's Eri Maruyama. She's the she works in international business development for the new streaming service out of Japan. That's a conglomeration of companies called Daisuke, and she's here to let us know what this is all about. So, Eri, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting.
So, what is Daisuke? How would you describe it to us?
Okay, Daisuki is a website that provides anime streaming to anime fans worldwide. And I think it's the first of its kind from Japan. So we know that there are many websites with similar services in foreign countries, but it's the first from Japan.
Okay, and it's this is a conglomeration of a bunch of different companies that produce animation in Japan. Can you tell us a little bit about how this all came together and why the decision was made to go with this, given that there are so many legal streaming options available, especially in North America?
So the idea was, a few years back, the Japanese companies already had the idea to create a platform where they can control their content themselves to stream to overseas fans, to provide to overseas. But you can imagine it's very difficult to handle many companies, and so this took time, and now Daisuki is ready to stream the content from those companies together. And so it was more like a natural development, and the companies came together.
Did you learn any lessons from certain companies that maybe didn't quite make it work? I know Nico Nico, they tried to make it work over here and just kind of couldn't. And I'm curious if you looked at what they did and said, like, okay, well, we can do this differently.
Well, we also don't know how it will work out. But the first thing we think is important is our main purpose is to provide legal service. So, you know, there are many piracy out there, and fans tend to watch those content because they are free, and buying DVDs is very expensive. And so we want to offer the content as under the same conditions. So Daisuki will offer the streaming for free, so the anime fans can watch the content for free and try out and try new anime and watch, and also the membership will be for free.
Okay, so there will be no subscription option. Is there? What? How do you intend to make money on this, I guess?
One thing is we are planning premium content, which will be for fee-based. And also, maybe later we will implement a monthly, like a premium membership. And also we will have a Daisuki web store where fans can purchase exclusive merchandise. And the main business model revenue will be, I think, from the ads inside the website and the videos.
So there won't be an option for someone to say, subscribe to Daisuki, give you $10 a month or whatever for no ads. There won't be anything like that.
Not at a launching.
Not a launch. Okay. Interesting. So what can you tell us technically about the site? What kind of quality can people expect from what you're streaming in comparison to, you know, the currently existing legal streaming options?
Yeah. First, this language will be with the animes will be all with English subtitles, and the resolution will be in HD.
Okay, great. And so in terms of content releasing, will you be doing simulcasts? Will you be providing shows that are airing currently in Japan? So, you know, the way Crunchyroll does it, where, you know, American fans and fans all over the world are getting those shows, you know, half an hour after they air, sometimes actually simultaneously. Will you be doing that sort of thing, or is this primarily going to be archived content?
We are also planning simulcast, because Daisuke, we want fans to know Daisuke, like the portal where they can get also both archived series, like classic ones, mm-hmm. and also very new ones, and also fresh ones. So we are also planning simulcasts.
Now, looking over the previous statements made about this company and its goals, it seems like the chief statement being made is, well, there's all these other sites, but anime fans just want one site to go to. They want the one place they can go and just see everything. At the same time, you're saying, "Oh well, we don't intend to compete with these other streaming sites. Like, we're not going to yank their licenses or anything." But ultimately, you are. I mean, you can't. Even if that's not the intention, you are competing with Crunchyroll and Funimation for eyeballs. I mean, someone watching something on Daisuke isn't then going to then go watch it on Crunchyroll. So how do you reconcile that? I mean, if the intention isn't to compete, why launch the service at all?
That's a good question. Let me think. Okay.
Because I mean, so I understand one of the big points for you guys is to take the middleman out. So you're directly getting that ad revenue, and they're not taking a cut. I get that. I totally understand that side of it. It's just that it seems like the space is really small, and you guys surely must understand the audience is fairly limited. Is there any concern on your part that this is going to ultimately be you guys all competing with each other?
Well, I think it's, for example, we say that we want Daisuke to be a site where series can watch all series, but I think actually, realistically spoken, this is also not possible. So other sites like maybe Crunchyroll or Hulu, Funimation, will have series which are not streamed at the Daisuke. And so this would be not a copy 100% in terms of the series, the content streamed. And also the time frame would be different. For example, Naruto Shippuden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they update the episodes, and also other series which are planned for Daisuke as well, they are also at a special stage, so at the special episode now at those sites. And Daisuke will now, for example, start with the first episode and then update every week. And this will be maybe for fans, like fans who haven't watched those series yet can now start at Daisuke to watch with the first episode from the beginning. So this is a different time frame.
Ah.
And maybe, So at Daisuke, we want to have like one whole sequel of 200 episodes of One Piece, for example.
Right. Okay. So, in other words, like, you know, sites like Crunchyroll and Funimation, they generally have the latest, you know, 4 or 5 episodes or so, and then they have whatever the newest one is. And you're saying on Daisuke, if you've never seen One Piece, you can go to Daisuke and watch the whole thing from the beginning. Okay. And is the intention to leave that up in perpetuity, so you'll always be able to go to Daisuke and watch, let's say, 300 episodes of Naruto? Like, is that the plan?
This is not planned. So we will also have each time a few episodes and update, and then update weekly, for example.
So episodes will come down eventually?
Yes.
Okay, great. Very interesting. So you mentioned something about a store, about having exclusive merchandise. Assuming this isn't just, you know, Daisuke branded T-shirts and coffee mugs and stuff, what kind of merch can people expect to maybe see in the store?
We are planning to their plans, for example, regarding official merchandise created together with incorporation with the shareholder companies. So this won't be only with logo of Daisuke, but with the series which are streamed at Daisuke. So maybe some Madoka Magica stuff or like One Piece stuff or something like that. And also, of course, merchandise of content that are not streamed at Daisuke at the moment. Like figures or figures and toys and right. DVDs also.
Okay. Yes. Okay, great, great. Do you have any idea at launch just how much content there will be?
At the moment, we have officially announced Madoka Magica, mm-hmm. One Piece, Lupin the Third, the new OVA series of The Prince of Tennis, which is localized for the first time in into English, mm-hmm. and also Sword Art Online will be one series, and Gundam Seed.
Gundam Seed, okay. Interesting. So since you are working with Toei and Sunrise, specifically, obviously this question pertains to Sunrise, are there plans to have a lot more Gundam on the site? Because that content, ever since, as I'm sure maybe you're aware, Bandai Entertainment USA went out of business. And so Gundam in the U.S. is really kind of hard to get. It's not easy to find. And I know a lot of Gundam fans have been asking whether or not Daisuke maybe would have archived or catalog Gundam content, so older shows.
Yes.
Is are there plans for that?
Definitely. So Sunrise gave us a list with titles which are ready to be streamed, all titles from Sunrise, and we already looked which Gundam series, for example, have never been released in the US yet, and we are focusing on them and are now localizing and translating, and we will definitely soon stream some Gundam sequel that has not been aired or released in the US yet.
Okay. Earlier you mentioned the importance of exclusive content and how as there's all these streaming sites now, the real business model comes down to exclusives. Will Daisuke have a lot of exclusives, or will everything on the site generally be available elsewhere? Is the idea to eventually have a lot of exclusive content?
We are planning that. We are hoping to have to be able to provide much material. For example, now the first plans are to get video messages from famous voice actors, and also like making of material. Behind-the-scenes footage, studio videos, and such stuff. And maybe in the future, we are also planning some exclusive content created in collaboration with Daisuke and maybe in production.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm sure people will be looking forward to that. Okay, so before we got a bunch of questions for you on Twitter. Before we get to that, I know you've got limited time for us today, but again, can't thank you enough for coming on. Previously, it was announced that Daisuke would launch in April. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet. Do you guys have a launch window?
Yeah, we're very happy for because we are very sorry for the delay and for letting you all wait. But we will launch definitely within May, so this month.
So in this month, okay. So people can look forward to that.
And for example, we are already on some American anime conventions with the Daisuke booth. So okay. We will start our promoting in May.
Okay. Can you give us any hint at maybe which conventions people might be able to see you at? Will you guys be at, say, Anime Expo, for example?
Anime Expo definitely in July, and also I think this weekend there's the Anime Central, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anime Central, yeah, and there will be also a Daisuke booth.
Okay, great. So people going to Anime Central, check them out. All right, so you got some questions on Twitter, and let's start here with one from Divine Nega. It says, will you be looking to possibly distribute catalog titles on your service not licensed in the U.S.? So he's asking, you mentioned a Gundam. You were talking about streaming shows that have never been made available legally here. So will that happen across the board, or are you looking at, like, Gundam aside, is that something that you're looking at overall?
Yeah. For example, Toei, since it's a company with a long history, they have many, like, classical series, classical animes, which have never been shown in foreign countries. And we want to show those series as well. And also, of course, Sunrise and from other companies, we want to show also classical, nostalgic ones. And if we stream very new ones, for example, simulcast and those classical ones together, then we think we can show the whole great variety of Japanese anime culture. And that's also what we want to do.
Cool, cool. Okay, XB Saint asks, are you guys using user feedback to figure out which shows to stream, or perhaps just clarify which shows in a franchise would be in high demand?
Definitely, we will also wait for the feedback from overseas. The first step, for example, will be our campaign at our launching. We will have a voting with a list of titles, and fans can vote which series they want to watch at Daisuki. And we will put these data together, and then we will think which series to stream in the future.
All right, Invalid Name asks, any current plans for Roku or other set-top boxes, so like an app where people can go to like their Xbox or their PlayStation or their Roku or any of those streaming devices that attach to a television where people can watch your content?
At the moment, Daisuki is only available through the at the computer, at the PC, but in the near future, we are already working on providing the service on tablets, smartphones, and also video game consoles like Xbox or PlayStation. But this is now not ready yet.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, nobody was ready with that stuff for many years, so it's understandable. Okay, Land of Obscusion asks, you've mentioned selling anime tie-in goods in the press releases. Are DVDs for Daisuki exclusive shows, so shows that you would stream on the site that have never been available in English before, like you pay for the subtitle job and everything, is there a possibility that Daisuki would release DVDs of those shows that have never been available here in the States legally?
I think there's definitely a possibility, and I think the production companies also will look if these content were popular among foreign fans, and if these were popular, then they may also license them and release them on DVD.
So that would be interesting then. So would, like, maybe this is just sort of a wild guess or sort of a speculation, but there's a possibility that we could see Daisuki branded DVDs with English subtitles on them for shows that have just never been released here in the States.
Maybe, yes.
Maybe. Okay. All right. Bruce McF asks, he says that you've given general descriptions of efforts to stream worldwide, though with specific access restrictions. Can you be more specific about the number of launch titles streaming to places like Nordic countries? You know, those places that aren't America. do you have any numbers or a list of countries or something that where you plan on streaming all this stuff?
Yeah. basically, we want to stream them worldwide, and then there are those single restrictions regarding at each area.
Right.
So we want to stream worldwide, but there are restrictions here and there, and so this series can't be streamed here and there, and so I don't know now which countries and which series, but there are some restrictions. But what I can say is, for now, the announced titles are all available, of course, in the U.S.
Okay. All right. Queen Auk asks, what improvement do you see Daisuke making on the current global streaming environment? What's it bringing to the table that you feel wasn't there before?
I think because Daisuke is the first from Japan, we can now build like a bridge between the Japanese side and the overseas fan side. So we will give opportunity to the fans to give direct feedback to Japanese companies, and they can read their opinions, and I think this is interesting for the fans and for the companies as well.
Right. So it sounds like a big part of this for you guys is to directly interact with your global audience rather than going through secondary companies, middlemen. The idea is to engage them directly yourselves rather than having to see that data interpreted through someone else's marketing department or something like that.
Yeah. And also, in the past, the Japanese anime companies had only the option to license, for example, their content and then like send them out to foreign countries, and now they can handle it on their own, and this is what they want to do in the future.
Right. Wow. Okay. So I did get a few questions about this. Will it be easier for Daisuke to get access to content that is otherwise proven to be fairly tricky to get licensed for, even just American release? And the big title a lot of people asked about is Sailor Moon, which is a Toei property. And a lot of people are asking specifically in that case, like, is it easier for Daisuke to say, hey, now you can, we're going to stream Sailor Moon for you guys. You can finally watch it after however many years and years and years of not being able to see it legally. Will it be easier for you guys to get access to that content because of your relationship to the publisher?
I'm optimistic that we can talk to the Toei people directly and, for example, request for specific titles. And even if these are difficult or thought to be difficult, I think there's a way to get them for Daisuke.
Okay, great. That's about our half hour, and that kind of wraps it up for our questions here. Once again, thank you very much for coming on the show, and I guess people can look forward to Daisuke launching this month.
Yes, thank you. And also, I'm most happy about the last question about Sailor Moon, because I also love Sailor Moon personally, and I hope we are going to show it.
I think if you guys did that, if you managed to pull that off, you would justify the expense of launching this in perhaps the first month. The nostalgia market for that show is gigantic. So go for that one. I think that's a good business decision.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Eddie for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a little rating or review. We'd really appreciate that. And we'll see you all next week.